right, open up your Bible real quick to Proverbs chapter 11. As we've talked about for the last several weeks, and you saw on the screen, we're going to be talking about our series this morning called It Is Possible. It Is Possible. And this series is based on a scripture we'll find in Proverbs 11 in a moment about finances. Now, about what God says about these things. And so let me just read a few things to you in jumping into this morning. You know, many people in our country, many people in the world are real uneasy about the financial situation. It has affected all of us to one degree or another. There's uncertainty in what maybe retirement or things that are coming up in the future for all of us. Consumer confidence, they say, is pretty much at an all-time low, even though they said, you know, gosh, we're going to be coming out of the recession. Some people talk about a double-dip recession. You come out, you go right back in. There's fear going on in the world today concerning finances and the future and jobs and all those sorts of things. And it's an amazing thing. I just read a stat in San Diego County. I think last week they said that there's 8.9% unemployment in San Diego County. And you go, ooh, national average is about 10.5. Ooh. But I look at it and I go, well, shoot. That means there's 91% of people in San Diego working. Right? Working. And so, but there's confusion about God's will concerning finances, you know, and so listen, there's mistrust a lot of times in churches when they talk about finances. There's mistrust. And so what we have to do is we have to go to the Word of God and we have to find out what God says about increase, economy, finances, money, tithing, giving offerings, what it says about saving, what it says about planting, sowing seed. We have to let the Word of God be our final authority. I can't turn the TV and look at MSNBC and look at Susie whatever her name is. I can't be looking at her and say, even though great stuff, and let that be the final authority. We have to let the Word of God be the final authority. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So our confidence, guys, cannot be in the economy. It can't be in our job. Our confidence has to be on four words that's really on our Bible that says, in God, or excuse me, not our Bible, in the dollar bill. In God, we trust, right? It's printed on our bills, right? In God, come on, somebody say that with me, will you? In God, we trust. So we're going to trust God. We're not going to trust the God of the world that it's those greenbacks. We're going to trust God and His Word concerning what He said. So, this series isn't to get more money out of you. This series is to get understanding to you so you and I can think and act according to the Word of God, think and act according to God's will for our lives so we can have what God says we can have. Is that okay? Now, I guarantee it, we'll probably be here for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. There'll be some times, and I've been in some services, listen, where some people were talking about money, and I was challenged. I didn't feel like they were trying to wring something out of me, but I had to make some adjustments in my thinking. I had to change some thought patterns that were in my life for a very long time. And so, again, I want to encourage you, you know, get a piece of paper, scripture. The messages will be on the podcast if you want to pull them offline or you want to buy a CD of what you want to do. But just be open for the Word of God. That's all we want to say. Be open for the Word of God. That's all. Come on, can we do that? Just be open. Let's be open. All right. We've talked about this many times. You're in Proverbs chapter 11, but in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 2, you don't need to write it down because you know the scripture, but it says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. That you can prove, notice this, prove. You can prove the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. So he says there's got to be something in our lives, guys, that constantly the way out of any situation. We're born again, filled with the Spirit, wonderful, but the way out is that we've got to get new thoughts. New thoughts. Our minds have to be transformed. There has to be a change of the way we think about anything subject, whether it's healing or whether it's forgiveness or unforgiveness, whether it's finances, whatever it is about the future, about what I've dealt with in my past. If I can get a different thought, if I can get God's thoughts, that thought has got the power, God's thoughts, to renew, transform my mind so I can prove good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Now, concerning any subject, that scripture fits. So let's make it fit just right now for the next several weeks concerning this series, It Is Possible. Concerning your financial future, the financial future of your children, concerning finances in general, concerning money, concerning how I think about it, I've got to renew my mind to God's Word, regardless of what my mom and dad taught me. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, I've got to let it down. I've got to lay it down what the United States of America has taught me. I've got to lay it down if it does not come face to face with the authority of God's Word. And I've got to let that be what I value, what I renew my mind with, because if I'll let it change me, I will prove out the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. And we can find tons of scriptures that say concerning finances what the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God is, which is God wants it well with you and me in a financial arena. He wants it well with you in the career path that you have. He wants it well with you. He wants excess money in your life, listen to me, so that you have your needs met. We'll talk about it from the scripture. You have your needs met and finances left over to be a blessing. Wouldn't everybody want that? Huh? Come on, whether it's working for you or not, wouldn't everybody want that? Yeah. You want everything paid for. When the bill comes in, you can pay for it. We don't want guys calling us all week long. We don't want that. We don't want someone repossessing the car. We don't want that. We don't want that. So, whatever's happened in your and my life, let's change the way we think and let's see if God's got some insight from His Word. We have to change the way we think with the idea, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Because doing makes the difference. Proverbs chapter 11. We've got a scripture behind us. It's in the Living Bible. Here's where we're getting this title series. In Proverbs 11, verse 24 and 25, from the Living Bible. Notice the scripture behind me. It is possible. Come on, say that with me, will you? It is possible to give away and become richer. It is also possible to hold on too tightly and lose everything. Yes, the liberal man shall be rich by watering others. He waters himself. It is possible to give away and become richer. That is in the book, guys. It's in there. God didn't hide it. He didn't take it out. He didn't say, I don't want my people thinking about money. I don't want them having any money. I want them poor because poor people make me feel good, or rich people make me feel good. You can't find that. He wants it well with you. It is possible that I can tithe. I can give. I can give to every good work that God puts it on my heart. I can be a giver and I can increase. That's what he said. That's what he said. Now it seems like we're already hitting a little snag here. That's what he said. So now I've got to change the way I think, because mom, dad, grandpa said, all the church wants is your money. Mom, dad, grandpa said, the economy says, all the people, all the bloggers say, don't do that. All they want, they're trying to get something from you. But God says, it is possible. It is possible that I can give. I can cooperate with God and His Word and His will. I can give and I can also receive. I can become something I'm not right now. I can become. That's a process. That's a process. I can become richer. Now, let's go through some different translations here. New King James on the screen there. New King James. There is one who scatters, yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right. Notice that. Withholds more than is right or proper, and it leads to poverty. Doesn't come overnight, but it leads that way. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. New Living Translation. Give freely and become more wealthy. Give freely and become more wealthy. So what should we do with our money? The scripture says, give how? Freely. Freely. Give freely and become, again, become means a process, more wealthy. More wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Message translation. Let's give you one more. Message translation. Again, this is a transliteration. You can read it like a novel. You can't really read it to study the Word of God because it's not word for word. Okay? But here's what it says here. I think it's noteworthy. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. Amen. Notice again those scriptures. It is possible to give away and become richer. Now, these four different translations, I've summarized these this way. Listen up. The liberal man, the generous man, the man who blesses others is made rich. He will prosper, and he is abundantly blessed. How many of y'all want to get in that category? But also it says this, you can hold also on too tightly, withhold more than is right. You have the opportunity, me too, to be stingy. And it says this, it will lead to poverty. You will lose everything and your world will shrink. Your world. Your world. It is possible to give away everything. Give away, not everything, but give away and become richer. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Come on, everybody say it with me. It is possible. So it's possible. That's what he says. It's possible. It's possible. There's one who scatters and increases. So as you look at these scriptures that we're talking about and speaking this morning, let's make some personal application for you in your own life. We're not talking about anybody else in the room. We're just talking to us. How are you doing with this? What's your thought concerning this? Are you on the stingy side? Or are you on the liberal side? Are you on the generous side? Or are you on the withholding side? Do you see your life in the last 10 years leading toward increase? Or do you see your life in the last 10 years leading toward poverty? Everybody, you know, talking to, you know, in our economy since 2000, about 2008. Woo! Wow, housing market, all that stuff went down. People, like, I got a friend here in the church. He said he was talking to his father-in-law, and his father-in-law said, I used to have a 401k. Now I think I just got a 201k. Lost so much money in his retirement account, right? So we're not talking about really what's in your account. Really what we're saying this morning is, how is your thought about all of this? Because as a man thinks in his heart, he or she is, and you're going to move towards your most dominant thought. So if I think the world's in shortage, if I think I'm not going to have enough, guess what I become? Stingy, self-centered. I only want to just take care of my stuff. I won't become a giver. And the Bible says, if I'm going to receive, I must give. Because he says it is possible to give away and become richer. But this does not work in the world. The world does not think this. I mean, the principles work in the world, but the world doesn't think this way. The world thinks, if I'm going to become richer, I've got to work, instead of 40 hours a week, I've got to work 60. If I'm going to become richer, I've got to make sure when grandma dies, I get close to grandma and say, you're going to give me the house, right? You're going to give me the house, right? The world thinks that I've got to step over people to get rich. The world says I've got to steal and cheat and connive to get wealthy. I've got to do some things under the table. That's what the world says. But God says, I've got a better way. If you will become a tither and one who gives offerings, if you'll be sensitive to my spirit when I talk to you and tug at your heart, when you're at McDonald's, God help you, and you say, stay away from McDonald's too much, and say, hey, see that little kid? Buy him a Happy Meal. Only problem is you'll have Happy Meals coming back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaking, and run over, and maybe you don't want that. He's from Wyoming. I love Rob. Hebrews 11:6. You found it yet? All right, let's read that out loud. Hebrews 11:6. We there? New King James 1, 2, 3, read. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So we found out, for something to be possible, our scripture, our key scripture, it's possible to give away and become richer. Now this says here, without faith it's impossible. Without faith it's impossible. So listen, attached to your thinking, attached to your expectation, attached to your doing, faith is going to have to be a huge ingredient to cooperate with God concerning this. Your faith level is going to have to increase. I don't think people tithe unless they have faith to tithe. I really don't think people give offerings above the tithe until they have faith to believe God that I'm going to actually obey God and God's going to come through to me. I can't see that from the Word. Maybe we do something or we try something and then all of a sudden it's like, well, I don't see it, and so we quit or we back up. But faith has got to be one of the main ingredients in your and my life to see financial breakthrough and increase, guys. Consistent increase. And again, you become richer. We're on a journey. It doesn't happen overnight. We'll talk about that in just the next couple seconds. So it says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. I like what an author said this. Listen to me. It didn't say without faith, it's impossible that God will not love you. Listen to me. God loves you and I. We're His children. God can love me and not be pleased with me. Have you ever had a child? Did you have children? You're always going to love them. You should. I don't care if they wind up in jail. I don't care if they do something terrible. You always will love them, but you might not always be pleased with them. God says the ingredient that pleases Him is faith. Faith. Faith isn't just what I say. Faith is what I do about what I say. Faith is taking the Word of God and working it in my life. There's a definition in the Amplified Bible. We've talked to this about you in days gone by. It says this concerning the definition of faith. It says this, that faith is the leaning of your entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness. Let me give it to you again. What is faith? Faith is the leaning of your entire human personality on God, in absolute trust and confidence in His power, in His goodness, and in His wisdom. That He is able to do what the Word of God says, so my faith leans on Him, and I might have to go through, like somebody said this way, you have to go through life with your eyes wide shut. Wide shut. Because when I close my eyes, I see some things in here. When I close my eyes, I can see the Word. But when I open my eyes, I see some things naturally that don't line up with this. So I gotta go through life with my eyes wide shut. Having this be my direction and allowing my soul to be saturated and changed to say, Lord, this is what You said. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to believe. I will not let anything I see deter me from what Your Word says. Because I am on a journey. I am becoming something that You said in the Word. Can you say amen? Look at the scripture again, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It is impossible to please Him. Notice this now. He who comes to God, when we come to God, even concerning this, we've got to believe two things. Number one, we got to believe that He is, right? We got to believe that He is. We got to believe that God is God. We got to believe that God created things. We got to believe that God's really in control of our life. We got to believe that God is Jehovah Jireh, Old Testament scripture where it talks about that God is my provider. I've got to believe that God's my provider. It's not my economy, not my job, not your good looks, and not your education. God is your provider. You've got to cross that bridge. So I've got to believe that without faith it's impossible to please God. I want to please God, so I got to believe that He is, that He's got a plan for my life, that the Word is still true in 2012, and that He is a rewarder. Come on, say it with me. God is my rewarder. Listen to what the word rewarder means. It says this. It means the one who pays wages. He's a rewarder. God is the one who pays wages. He is. He is. It also means this. The rewarder, the root word of the word rewarder, means that God will give away for one's own profit. He rewards you. He gives to you and I for our own profit. When we seek God, without faith it's impossible to please God. It's impossible. So I've got to cross that bridge. My faith level concerning whatever Bible subject has to increase. If I'm going to believe God that He's the healer of my body, my faith level in healing scriptures is going to have to rise. Because come a couple of days, the devil's going to try to come to you or my life with sickness and disease. He's going to come knocking. He's a thief. That's what he does. He's got a job assignment. Come on, everybody. So how do I resist him? I got to get the word concerning healing alive in me so I'm convinced. So my posture when the attack comes is I stand against it. Amen. Right? And so I got to get words concerning finances, the economy, what God thinks. You're my provider. I can actually give away and become richer. I've got to get that working in me, my faith level increasing, so I will actually become a doer and not be moved by what I see or don't see. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He that comes to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Faith is an ingredient that we must have. Now again, possibility is in the realm of God. Possibility is not in the realm of the natural, meaning this. I can't find the possible becoming possible in the natural. I find it in the will of God. I find what I have from the Word, what I have from the things of the Spirit. I find that that is where it will work in my life and then work out in the world. I cannot find impossible things becoming possible out there. They don't work out there. Out there is where the curse is. I get it in my spirit. I take it out there and things change for me out there. So I won't find it altering out there. I can't find my answer out there. I find it from God's Word. I find it from His Spirit. And I find it when I act on God's Word. So again, he says here, it's impossible without faith, the ingredient of faith, it's impossible to please Him. It's impossible. Again, He can love you, but He won't be pleased with you and I. And so he says here, we got to believe that God is number one. And that number two, He's a rewarder. He's a wage payer for those who diligently seek Him. So there's our second ingredient right there, guys. Seeking Him. Seeking Him. Faith is an ingredient. Here's the second ingredient I see from this scripture, which goes right along with Proverbs chapter 11, that it is possible. It is possible to give away and become richer. But now he says, without faith it's impossible. So whatever you're believing for, it will still be impossible without the ingredient of faith. Of faith. You see that? Now he tells us here in the scripture also, of those who diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him. So let's talk about that for a few seconds here. The word seek here talks about and it means to investigate, to search, and to scrutinize. So, I can't be a casual Bible reader and have my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions changed. I can't just come to church and think that I'm going to get everything I need at church and my life be on a road of change or growth or increase. I've got to take day by day and renew my mind with God's thoughts. If I'm struggling in an area in my marriage, I find what the scriptures say about walking in love and forgiveness and prayer and all kinds of things that I can begin working in my own life and praying for my spouse so that I am changed. I find the answers to life in the Word. So we're talking about here, though, seeking, of those who diligently seek Him, he says here the scripture means to search. Search. So if I am going to understand that God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, I am going to have to search some things out. And believe me, just like you, I've done some searching on all sorts of things. If you want a new car, I guess, I don't know how you do, I go online. I go on cars.com, I go on Auto Trader, I start searching. I was looking for a truck, you know, a year ago or so for Jude. You know, wanted a little Toyota truck, kind of what I thought. So I start searching. I'm on Craigslist every day. Several times a day I'm on Craigslist. I had it open at the bottom of my computer screen. And I just click right there, you know, in the morning. I'd click right there at lunch. I'd click right there before I went to bed to see if a new truck came up there. And I'd start looking at them. I'd start comparing. I was searching. I was scrutinizing. I was diligently seeking. I wanted to get the best deal. I wanted to make the best connection. I wanted to buy it before somebody else bought it. And I searched, and we went to National City, and the guy said, man, here's a truck. It's great. It's got 110,000 miles. But I kind of went, I'm not so sure. Got something on the inside. Not so sure. You're telling me the truth. So I went and bought a Carfax report. You can get five vehicles for $40 in 6 weeks or something like that. I bought a Carfax thing. I put the VIN number in the Carfax because I'm seeking. I'm seeking. That's what I'm doing. Help me, Jesus. I'm searching. I'm seeking. I'm scrutinizing. And I put it in the Carfax report, and the truck had 325,000 miles. And I said, thank God for little phones. And I said, Carfax, your truck's got 325,000 miles. What you going to say about that? I didn't know. Yeah, you didn't know, you little thief. I'm searching. I'm scrutinizing. I'm seeking. Wow, I did it when I bought a truck. Will I do it with the Word of God? Because I want Him to reward me because He said He wants to. In every area of my life. So, Matthew 6. Let's get over there. Matthew 6. Everybody doing all right this morning? Listen, we're not going to take another offering or anything like that, so we're all good, okay? Put your purse down. Somebody's hanging the purse going, dear God, he's going to take another offering. No, we're not going to do that. Although I have been in some services, we had about three offerings. How about you, huh? And it was God, you know. And I know our church, you guys love to give. I just want to appreciate what you guys do consistently. We have regularly folks that just need some stuff, and you guys just are giving church. Praise the Lord. Amen. Come on, praise the Lord. Amen. Now you might be thinking, going, no one's ever given anything to me. Well then, what side of that equation are you on? Are you on the liberal side, or are you on the stingy side? Are you on the giving side, or are you always wanting to be the receiving side? Huh? What side of that equation are you on? Well, you don't know. I haven't got nothing. Booyah. I don't know what that means, but it sounded like it fit. Booyah. You got something to give. I like what I got a pastor friend, and they were going to do a project. They were going to do a building fund at the church, and they had to have money. They said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to do like they did in the book of Acts. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask everybody, if you don't have anything to give, you haven't got, we need big money. We got to put a down payment on a building. Our building's busting out. You just got to have some big money. So we're going to need, let's just say this. We're going to need $500,000. And we need it quick. So here's what we're going to do. No, there's no pressure on anybody. But let's just do like we did in the book of Acts. If you've got extra, which everybody has extra, you go sell it and bring that in the kingdom of God. You've got three cars, you don't need two. Sell it and bring it in the kingdom of God. That's what Barnabas did. He had an extra piece of land. Sold it and brought it in the kingdom of God. The Bible says there was no lack. So he said, look around and sell something. Provide it, bring it in the kingdom of God. Don't bring your ring to church. Sell it on eBay. Go sell it. Bring it down to Hamill's Jewelry. You sell it and bring the money, because we're not going to sell rings around here, auction off rings at church. Hey, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20. We don't do that. You do it and bring it. And so he had some people that went, oh, I ain't got anything to give. And he said this, let's go to your house and let's see how many big screen TVs you got. Let's see what's going on in your wardrobe. Let's see what you can go down and you can sell. Let's see if you can have a garage sale around here. Let's take off the spinny rims and put on hubcaps. Almost all of us have probably got some things we could bring into the kingdom of God. We probably could. Seeking God, Matthew 6. Let's read some scripture. As we talk about seeking God, write down Matthew 6:33. Seek first. Let's read that out. 1, 2, 3, read. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All these things, they're going to be added to you. Let's find out what He's talking about. Come on, this is read in the Bible. This is Jesus talking. Jesus knows what He's talking about. Let's find out what Jesus is saying. Let's get a God thought here about Hebrews 11. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So faith has got to be an active ingredient. I've got to believe that He is, and He's a rewarder. As I diligently seek Him, as I search, investigate, and scrutinize, It says there in Hebrews 6. Now, this scripture also brings out the word seek to meditate and think about, ponder, inquire into. So I'm on a search. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek, find out, get my thinking lined up, get my meditation. I gotta get my thoughts concerning what he's saying renewed so I can have the benefit of what he's saying. Seek first the kingdom of God. So I can't be thinking about my kingdom first. I can't be thinking about my house first. I can't be thinking about how am I going to pay for college education first. I've been there. I can't be thinking about it. I can't be dwelling about it. I just try to pour out my soul to you to get us thinking right. You got kids. I got four. Dear God, everybody in the room knows how much it takes to raise kids. And God, I want to be able to provide for them and tell you a little story here. Side note, I've told you before. When Chloe was born, she's 15 here in a couple of weeks, about 3 weeks. The night she was born, of course, she's at the hospital in Canada where we live. Kimberly's there with her. I come home. The three kids we put off with some friends. I came home in the middle of the night late from being at the hospital. Went to bed. All's well. Sleeping fine. Woke up in the middle of the night. Spirit of fear hit me. Listen, my room was black with demonic oppression. And here's the words of the enemy I heard, just like if it was you talking to me. I heard the enemy say to me, you're never going to be able to provide for that girl. She's the fourth child. She's your fourth child. You're never going to be able to take care of her. Man, I sat there and I heard those words. And let me tell you what, all of a sudden, thank God for the word of God. Something on the inside that happened as day after day, year after year, I would read the word, apply the word, act on the word concerning what we're talking about right now. Something rose up within me and I started shouting at the top of my lungs, God's my provider. God's going to take care of me. God's going to make a way for my children. I resist that thought. And after I went to battle for about 5 minutes, just a spirit of laughter hit me in my little bedroom at 200 Hosmer Road, Trail BC, VR V131H8. Right there. And I started laughing uncontrollably. Joy hit me. And let me tell you what, never for the last 15 years almost have I ever considered not having enough for my child. Michael wanted to go to Bible school. God, how are we going to make a way? God made a way that we were able to pay for all of Michael's tuition, all his living at Rhema Bible Training Center. God made a way. God, I got another daughter, Brittany. How are we going to do it? God made a way. She lived at home. We bought her a car, went to San Diego State full time. Paid for. God laid on her heart for a master's program. And she told you the story. We've told you the story. Don't know how we're going to get it. I told her, I'm paying for you 4 years. You want your master's? You talk to your God. I'm not your God. You talk to your God. She got to talking. She got to sowing. She got to speaking. She got to declaring what the Word of God says. And she got a stipend every year. They pay her $18,000 a year, pay her school, paid for. She works for the county for 2 years after she graduates. They pay her the wages of a full-time employee, and she gets experience. It's all taken care of. I'm not saying this. And here's what, listen. We're not trying to wring any money out of you. I'm trying to get you God thought for you, your future, and your family. And of course, you gotta tithe. You gotta give offerings. Your kids' lives are at stake. Your grandkids' lives. Your future is at stake. So listen, we've been there, as we said, in the grocery market. Been there with the calculator. Been there. And you go up there and you start, scan this much because I don't know if I got enough to pay for the rest of it. Beep, and I'm the pastor. Beep, beep, that's enough. We'll put this back. I've been there. But I'm telling you, here today, I'm telling you, listen, I'm not a millionaire, not even close. I'm not even a 100,000-aire. But here's what I'm telling you. I know my God shall supply all my need. And I know he wants to be that way for you and you to put a wedge in the devil's hold on you and your future for your kids and grandkids as well. Right? Come on, right? We want it well with you. That's why we're talking this way. All right, Matthew chapter 6. So it says, seek first the kingdom of God. Let's go a few more minutes. We doing all right, everybody? Look at verse 25, Matthew 6, 25. Notice what it says. Let's read this. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? He says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Verse 27, which of you by worrying can add a cubit or an inch, small thing, to his stature? Height can't increase by worrying. Verse 28, so he says, why do you worry about the clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles, or those outside the covenant of God, seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Can you say amen? So, verse 26, let's look at that. Jesus starts off the dialogue in verse 25 and he says, don't worry about what you're going to eat, drink, or what you're going to put on. Your body, your life is more than just that. Verse 26, notice what he says there. Look at the birds. Look at the birds. I would encourage you, I'm excited when I see the birds now. Because I've got this scripture alive in me. When I see the birds, I get thinking about this scripture. Notice what he says there. He says that the birds, they don't sow, they don't reap, or they don't gather. They don't sow, reap, or gather. They don't plant. I want to say it this way. They don't give. They don't harvest. They don't save. Yet God sustains and feeds them. God sustains and feeds them. They don't plant anything. They don't have any harvesting. And they don't save anything. Every day, yet God sustains them. So listen to me. Renew your mind with the Word. God will sustain you every single day. He's going to sustain you. He's going to take care of you. Go look at the birds. Look, every time you look at a bird, look at them. God's taking care of those birds. They didn't plant anything to get what they're eating. God is taking care of them. Notice verse 28 and 29. Why do you worry about clothing? Then he says, consider the lilies of the field. Notice that. How they grow. They don't toil or spin. In other words, they don't struggle. Notice this. Flowers are not struggling for their bloom or for their beauty. They're not toiling. They're not anxious. They're not fretful. And it goes on, and Jesus points an unbelievable comparison, guys. Notice what he says. He says that, I say to you, verse 29, that even Solomon in all his glory wasn't arrayed or clothed like one of these. Solomon, guys, was the richest man in the Bible. Jesus says, even the flowers that I am going to now take care of you, I'm going to take care of you, but the flowers are far more surpassing in glory and splendor than the richest man on earth. I, God, am going to take care of you. Get your eyes, if you're going through a tough time, find a bird. If you can't find a bird, find a flower. Solomon was the richest man in the Bible. And look at that plant. It's not toiling. It's not turning. It's not anxious. It's not nervous. Every day, the flower, when it blooms, it goes back at night and it comes out every day. Come on, you might be going through a night, but tomorrow you're going to come out. Amen. Look what he goes on to say. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, verse 30, this is key. Notice this, verse 30. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven. Today it had a bloom, tomorrow it's got no bloom. What's he going to do? He's going to throw it into the oven. Notice what he says. Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Circle little faith there. Write it down. Write yourself a note. The word little faith means short-bursted faith. Short-bursted faith. One translation calls it underdeveloped faith. So we can have faith, but it can be underdeveloped. We can have faith, but it just be short-bursted. We believe, then we don't believe. We trust, then we don't trust. We give, and then we get nervous and don't give again. God says, just like the flowers every day come out, flowers at night, they go back, and the next day they come out, I take care of them, I'm for them. Solomon wasn't even clothed like those. The birds, which don't sow, they don't plant, they don't even save, yet I take care of them. You find yourself a bird, you find yourself a flower, and you can rest assured God's going to take care of you better than that. Amen. And he says here, even the grass that today is, listen, a beautiful bloom today, and tomorrow the bloom dies. They cut it down, they put it in the oven, they burn it up, they rake it up, they put it in their recycling place or whatever, take it to the dump. Yet he tells us here, he says here, will he not more clothe you? Even if it was glorious today, what's going to happen? Man, I lost my money. I lost the job. My 401k is now a 201k. What am I going to do? God will provide. He's going to provide. He's going to make a way. That's what he does. He makes a way. Come on, you're going to bloom again. You're going to bloom again. All these things, verse 32, the Gentiles seek. Notice, what are we to seek? Matthew 6:33. What are we to seek? We seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what's he going to do? Add. Come on, everybody say add. All the things that we need. So we seek first the kingdom of God. We seek first his way of doing and being right. We seek the kingdom of God first, and he's going to add things to us. So again, he says, what you eat, what you drink, what you wear, don't get tied up with that. There were no cars in the day. There were no airplanes in the day. If you got to have an airplane ticket, God says, I'm going to try to make a way with you so you get the airplane ticket. I want you to have that airplane ticket. You can go take that job to go see that level. Whatever it is, guys. He didn't say anything about tuition for kids. He didn't say anything about certain specifics, but the totality of our life, eating, drinking, what we put on, a house to stay in. Listen to me. That's not where there's gangs going on, tagging everything and slitting tires and causing drive-by shootings, as we just had right over here this past weekend, which we need to pray, and we'll pray about some of those things tonight. God wants you in a good place. God doesn't want you walking down the street at night and getting mugged. But this doesn't say that. But this is what the totality of a life that God wants, where I, God, take care of you. I want to sustain you and your family and everything. Five times, mark it down, five times this scripture says, don't worry. Don't worry. Verse 25, verse 27, verse 28, verse 31, verse 34. We don't worry. We don't worry. We seek the kingdom of God, and we believe that God is going to do what he said. He's going to add everything to us that we need. Luke chapter 12. Let's go just a couple more minutes. Luke chapter 12. Luke 12. Luke, when he records what Jesus is saying here, he adds a little addendum to this in Luke 12. Look at verse 32 through 34. It's basically the same exact word for word picture that Matthew recorded. Luke says this in verse 32 on the heels of this same scripture. Do not fear, little flock. Here's this fear again. Don't fear. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom, right on the heels of seek first the kingdom of God. Right on the heels of don't take any thought what you're going to eat, drink, what you're going to wear. Right on the heels of look at the birds. Right on the heels of look at the flowers. Solomon wasn't even clothed like one of these. Right on the heels of that, don't fear, little flock. The Father wants to give you the kingdom. So listen to me. Part of walking in kingdom dominion must mean I trust God for every need that I have. And I trust Him for it because He wants to provide and supply everything I need. He goes on to say in verse 33, sell, this might make you nervous, sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old. Notice this, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches or moth destroys. Sell distracting and unnecessary possessions that require all your time. Sell distracting and unnecessary possessions that require all your time. Several years ago, we had a big SUV, and the kids kind of talked me into it. I listened to them. The kids talked me into getting bigger tires on the SUV and getting rims. What do you call them? What do you call those things, Mike? Just rims. Rims. I never had rims before. But the kid said, yeah, Dad, your SUV kind of look a bit bigger tires. Get some bigger, not real big, but just bigger tires. And let's get some rims. And you know what I found out about those stinking rims? You got to polish them. If you don't polish them around here, the salt water in the air will rust them. And so you know what? I mean, Mike told me, because Mike told me about them. But you know what? I don't like doing stuff like that. I'm just not the kind of guy that goes, let's go polish the rims and spend 4 hours. I'm just not that kind of guy. I'm like, let's go drink a coffee, you know. I mean, we keep a clean house, you know what I'm saying? But when it comes to extra stuff, not really, it wasn't necessary. And so, listen, Jesus says something here that's staggering. Sell what you have and give alms. Give to the poor. Give to the church. Give to the kingdom of God. And here's what you will do. You will provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old. So notice this. He's saying when you give and you just don't spend everything for yourself, when you give, when you let that be a lifestyle in you, you are actually providing something for yourself. I thought I had to take the top 10% of my money that my dad told me when I'm a kid. I make $100 a week. Take the top 10%, give to God. Take the next top 10% and save it. Take the next 80%, you give tithes and or you give offerings on top of that and live off the bottom 80. That's how I was raised. That's how I was raised. Haven't always been faithful to the saving part. Never altered the giving part. Never. But here he says, if I'll do it, if I'll take what I've got and say, you know, I don't really need that. I'm going to give that in the kingdom of God. Or maybe you look around your house and go, you know, there's really nothing left in the house. I pretty much, you know, what I need I use. But I can have a heart that says, Father, what I have for my income, what I have that comes in, I can readily give to you. The Bible says I'm providing something. Let's call it this. Let's call it spiritual savings. I'm providing something for myself in the future. Listen to me. Unless you think money's floating up to heaven, which it's not, it stays here. But my faith goes to God, and God says, I'm going to work in heaven and bring change on you right now on the earth. I'm going to work for you. Notice what he says. A treasure in heavens. Come on, somebody say, that does not fail. Come on, one more time. Does not fail. Just will not fail. No thief's going to break in. I'm not going to have any problem with that. Verse 34, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. My treasure is an indication of where my life is. I can give to God causes on the earth, and it's going to bring eternal treasure in heaven with no loss. Can't be broken into. Can't be stolen from. Come on. Can't be decreased. Come on. Nobody's going to rip it off. Nobody's going to has anybody ever had anything stolen from you? God says when you give in the kingdom of God, there is no loss. Come on. Bow your head. Close your eyes. Prayer partners, come on up here. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You today for the Word. The entrance of Your Word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. It gives direction and illumination. You said Your Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So, Father God, this morning I pray again that Your Word is finding entrance in our heart. Father, we come against the accuser of the brethren, the devil himself, to steal the Word of God. We hear the Word of God. We guard it. We treasure it. We protect it. That, Father, this week, make adjustments in all of our heart that we would seek first the kingdom of God and right standing with You. And You'll add everything that we need for us and our children, our grandchildren, our families, the ministry that we're involved with, Lord God. We thank You that You're a rewarder of those who diligently seek You. So this week we set our hearts to scrutinize and analyze and look at the Word of God and hide the Word of God and seek for it as a pearl of great price. Finding Your Word, we obtain wisdom. Wisdom, You said, is the principal thing. Wisdom will add years of life to us and life worth living. So we thank You for Your Word today. We thank You, Lord. As we look at the birds and we look at flowers, we thank You. We're going to remember, God will take care of me. We thank You, Father, for it. In Jesus' name. Right there with your head bowed, your eyes closed, no one looking around. Just give everyone the right to privacy right where you're at. I just want to ask you the question this morning. Are you right with God? Is your heart right with God? Do you know Him as Father, as we're talking about? Jesus displayed and shared and talked about God as a Father.